Welcome to Outbound, where we talk about how people who do business development can build deeper relationships with their ideal customers. Today on the show, I have my boss, Mike Grenberg. He's the CEO of Proofpoint Marketing. He and I talk about building relationships with customers a lot, so I'm really excited for his perspective. I've learned a ton from him over the last 2 years that I've been at Proofpoint about how to build really, truly meaningful relationships with your customers and prospects. So Mike, welcome to the show.
What's up? I feel like I get to peek behind the curtain and see how this show gets made. I mean, I know we sponsor it, we do all this stuff for it, but I never, I'm on the other end of the camera now.
Yeah,
now
you get to see how the sausage is made.
Exactly. I get to see Indiana Joe in action.
Love it. Yeah, so Mike, what's your secret sauce for building relationships with your ideal customers?
So it's going to sound maybe basic, but it's being genuinely curious. And I talk a lot about, if people ask me, what should young marketers or, emerging marketers be focusing on as skill sets and things like that. And I talk about data concepts and business concepts. And when I talk about curiosity, I really mean that latter part. It's really being curious about business and the business of your prospective clients. And I think this is whether you're in like a multidisciplinary type or multi-industry type organization where you're dealing with lots of different industries, or where you're in a place where you're like, hey, we only work with industrial manufacturing companies. Okay. Either way, it's understanding how business works for them. Like, what are the challenges their clients and customers commonly have? What are the challenges they have? How do they, what does their CFO typically ask of whoever these people are, whether it's marketing or sales or IT, whatever it is, whoever you're selling into. But it's understanding the business of their business, if you will, and being like genuinely curious about it, because what that allows you to do when you get into an initial conversation or a discovery or whatever you want to call it, and really every conversation you have, is you're really able to ask good questions. And that shows to these people that you get them and that you genuinely want to understand them and you genuinely want to help them. Again, it's not one of those things you can fake. Like, you can maybe fake one or two good questions. You can't fake it through an entire conversation, through the entire sales process. It's very clear. I've been on the other end of it, like usually with SaaS platforms, where they ask one or two good questions, like, oh, you understand how marketing firms work. And then it's like, but then there's this feature and that feature, and you should do this. I'm like, that does not make any sense for us. You lost me. And the goal is not to do that. And I think the only way you can do is by being genuinely curious about how their business works.
Yeah, it's interesting because a theme definitely has come up through the show where people have talked about being authentic and interesting and interested in the other person. And, there's been a few themes like that have come up. But I think what's interesting about the angle that you're taking is, yes, it's being curious, and you can be curious about the person and find out about things about them on a personal level. And there is value in that. Like, if you happen to go to the same place on vacation, that is a great... It's amazing how far that goes in building rapport and relationship, just something as simple as that. So there is value there. But what you're talking about is kind of a layer down from that, where you're being curious about how their business actually operates. And depending on the level of person you're speaking with, I mean, obviously, if it's the CEO, they're going to be much more educated on their business model. If you're talking to a layer down, they might and probably will overall. But if you're talking to somebody who's like manager level or director level, there's a decent chance that they actually don't understand their own business model. And if you understand how different businesses work and you understand the different ways that people go to market, especially in that specific industry, you're adding value to the conversation by helping them to think about the problem. And, kind of goes back to the previous episode that was a clip from our Relationship-Led Growth Live with Brian Walsh, talking about getting that internal alignment. And so asking those questions and getting curious helps them to think about what they need to do to actually make the change in their organization that has to happen to bring you in or solve this problem you're helping them with, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to, at the end of the day, it's a de-risking exercise, because when we talked about this actually on that same show with Brian, but when you are in the sales process and you're having these sales conversations, especially if you're selling a service, but in general, what the person or the people on the other side are doing is they're de-risking the buying decision, meaning they need to build trust with you as a person and then with your organization. And I think like the idea of understanding them as a person. So like, I'll give you an example. There's a one time where we're in a pitch or whatever, and I looked at this person's LinkedIn profile prior, and I saw that their banner happened to be the Superstition Mountains down here in Phoenix, one of my favorite places to go. And then during the call, I'm like, hey, out of curiosity, is that Superstition on your LinkedIn profile? Like, yeah, it is. How'd you know? I'm like, well, you know, we're down here in Phoenix, whatever. Anyway, so like, that's great. That's not going to get me the sale. That gives me that initial rapport, and they go, oh, that person's cool. They also like hiking and outdoor stuff. We can relate. That's not going to help me get this. I mean, it's going to help me get the sale, but that's not going to be the thing that does it. I then need to show that I understand them, and I need to be able to ask them legitimate questions about their business, because that shows that my company will likely be able to help them. And that's the other part of trust, right? That's asking these questions allows you to transfer that trust from me as a person to the broader organization. Cause like, oh, well, if this person who represents this organization can ask me the right questions, I trust, at least that's the goal, that they will be able to deliver once they have this information, cause they get it.
Yeah. Well, I'll just tee into tell me about a time when that's worked for you. Like, you were explaining a couple different examples, but I think that'll help bring it together. And then we can kind of go deeper in the conversation from there.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a bunch. I'll use a different example, but there's a better one. A long time ago, before we even started Proofpoint, I worked at a different agency. One of my favorite clients, or one of my most important ones, was a company called Stratasys. They're a 3D printing manufacturer. So they build all the, you know, MDF systems and whatnot. And I was just all about understanding the technology, understanding how it works, understanding the rapid prototyping model and outsourcing when that made sense, you know, all this kind of stuff. And there was a client we were in the process of pitching. This is now a Proofpoint. And they were a contract manufacturer. So they didn't do a ton of the 3D printing stuff. They did a lot of CNC machining and things like that. But through my understanding of that industry, I learned about that as well and whatnot. So I was able to not only ask them about some of the technology things, which they were like, oh, you get this. But I understood the model, because at that point they worked with a bunch of these companies who bought the printers and did the work and whatnot. So I was able to ask them about their model and how it works and how, you know, the capital structure work in terms of buying equipment and how that impacts their cash flow, all this kind of stuff. And that allowed them to go, oh, these people get it. And we won the business at the end of the day. Was that the only reason why? No, I'm sure that's not the only reason why, but it definitely helped, because it made them comfortable knowing that we get them and that we're asking the right questions, which means we should be able to help them solve their problem.
Yeah, Mike, you bring up a good point that I want to start emphasizing this more in the show, because it's really been impactful for me as I'm working both on the marketing and the business development side, is that curiosity helps you elevate the conversation to a totally different level of value for the client. So now, yes, you're talking about marketing, but you're able to help think through campaigns that are going to help them achieve, you know, really specific things. And is revenue part of that? Yes, but it's not always the only factor. Like, this is probably going to sound a little bit stupid because I don't know anything about that space like you do. But if they're buying some huge capital piece of machinery, the way that they need to get revenue might be a little bit different than, you know, if they are venture backed and, you know, just depending on their actual specific situation right now, that changes the kind of business you're going after, you know. Or do you have 5 years to build out this huge brand and, you know, they're going to bank on that and they have the runway and they have the money and that's how their business is operating? Or they just get a huge venture capital backing that, you know, they're going to be held accountable to reaching certain revenue goals that may or may not be realistic, but either way, they're going to be accountable to hit those things. That changes what you recommend. And if you understand that, then you're not coming in and just saying, okay, well, we're going to run this campaign because that's best for you. It's like, well, best for you to do what? And if you don't really get that underlying layer, you can't do that. And then, you know, kind of tying it back into the previous conversation, if you're talking with somebody who is a little bit lower in level in the organization, they might take a marketing initiative or, you know, growth initiative and go to their leader and say, hey, you know, this is going to help us get traffic to our website and increase leads. And, you know, it's going to help us increase our pipeline or whatever. But if you're able to speak more to that business conversation, get them to go and ask the questions that they need to make the right kind of business case to their leadership, you're making them look really good. You're helping the company actually solve the problem internally, and much more likely to actually get the deal in the end of the day, because you're lining up what you're offering with much higher level business needs and business objectives, not just whatever that, you know, marketing manager thinks they need to do to get more leads or more website traffic or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So what are some practical steps that people can take? And I think what would be helpful is if you go a little bit more into the research process, because I've had a behind the curtain how the sausage is made on that a little bit. And it's been helpful for me, you know, when I'm thinking about preparing for a conversation with somebody, to be doing a little bit different research than I've done in the past.
I'll do a couple of more higher level things, and then we can get into the research details. So I think there's overall, I think if you are in a sales role, or I mean, honestly, marketing role too, but sales role in particular, you need to really be like almost think of acting almost like a polymath a little bit in terms of really being curious and just purposefully researching and trying to understand other industries. Like, I'll give you an example. I know we want to sell more into, you know, the IT and the cybersecurity space. So what am I doing? Well, and you and I both, like, we're attending more conferences. I'm having more conversations purposefully with those people. I'm not selling to them. I'm really trying to better understand the industry and the space so that when it does come time to sell, I can have a legitimate business conversation, not just a, hey, let me tell you what Proofpoint Marketing does and how we can help you. So I think that's a big one, is really, I would say, proactively thinking about who are you selling into and why, and then researching the space. Now, when it comes to researching, like prepping for a specific conversation, this is where, I mean, most people have the tools. Like if you got Sales Navigator, you know, look at things like their, hiring trends or whatnot over the last couple of years, and combine that with things like, what job descriptions do they have live and things like that. And some of the content, maybe their people are putting out, the company's putting out, this person in particular you're going to be talking to is putting out. You can start framing a story. Now, that story might not be 100% true, but you can ask questions based on that story that allows the person to very easily go, well, no, it's actually not that, it's this. Oh, okay, cool, thanks. That makes sense. But you've still asked a valuable question that looks like that's gives you gives them the impression that you understand what they're dealing with. You know, like, I'll give you a perfect example. Well, you know this because we talked about it, but there's a company that we were looking at, and one of the things we found looking at the things that showed that they had a really big, fast spike in hiring, right? And through our conversations, we had heard from them that they are, you know, they have one really large client, which is, by the way, a very typical thing in that space. So now we can very clearly understand the story that probably is happening there, which is they got one large client, they had to hire rapidly to deliver on the work, and then they flatline, and now they're kind of stuck, right? That's a very specific story that has a specific set of challenges that we can ask questions about, right? So it's those types of things.
Well, Mike, that before you move on, just because I think that ties together the importance of doing that kind of research, then the conversation isn't just about, hey, how do you increase revenue? It's like, how do you become less dependent on one client? So that if and when that client churns, you don't lose half your business. That's a different story and a different problem than, hey, we have 50 customers that are all bringing in about the same amount, and now we really want to accelerate growth. Even the tactics that you would choose, or you know, how many different industries you would go after, there's a lot of things that you might do differently based on that knowledge. And if we're able to have that conversation during, you know, discovery call or an alignment call, getting the pieces together, just again, much more likely that we're going to close a deal. And beyond that, much more likely that we're going to sell them something that's actually going to solve the root problem. And so they're going to stay a customer longer and be happier and, you know, all of that. Even if we would have closed the deal anyway, just going to deliver something much, much better. All right. So I stopped you mid-thought. You were talking about another research.
Oh, I mean, the other thing, again, you can do, I mean, this is where AI is actually extremely helpful, in my opinion, where you can come up with some fairly basic prompts, which is like, hey, you're such and such work, you know, salesperson working for this company, you know, whatever. You're selling into XYZ type of organizations. You're selling these services. You can add all those links, things like that. And then you give it a prompt of like, what are the top challenges they're facing based on what they're talking about, based on general industry stuff, whatever. And it can give you almost like a research brief, right, that you could use as a baseline. Ideally, you do this well before your conversation, not like 5 minutes before. But that can give you a nice baseline of, okay, it might give you some themes you might want to research further. Like, oh, this industry is having supply chain issues that are being caused by X, Y, and Z. Okay, let me go research that a little bit more. And maybe that has some impact on what I'm selling. So that's a really, I found that to be a really useful tool to do like baseline research that is very quick. And once you perfect a prompt, you can, it's pretty standard, copy, paste, replace some links, and off you go. The whole thing takes a couple minutes versus, you know, probably an hour's worth of time that would take you prior to that, just scouring the web and all that stuff.
Yeah, Mike, it's kind of interesting too, because a lot of the things that you're talking about that you're using on the sales side is the same stuff that we do for market research, only instead of doing it for, you know, an entire industry for that company, you're doing it for this one person at one individual company. So, you know, it's really like getting very micro customer research versus doing macro. But, you know, having done product marketing before and doing a bunch of customer interviews, it's really the same idea. You know, we're trying to get that information on a broad level across the entire industry. And we're zooming that in. And when you're doing that, you come up with a hypothesis and you want to have light hands with that hypothesis, but you have to have an idea of what you think. And then through conversations and interviews, you're trying to, as quickly as possible, either prove it wrong or go, yeah, I'm onto something here. And you're doing the same thing with these conversations. So you're having your hypothesis based on that research and going, hey, I think that this is what's going on at that company. And then the way that you phrase the question to them isn't saying, hey, I know that this is going on in your company and this is why. You're saying, oh, you know, through a little bit of preliminary research, I saw this, you know, that kind of caught my attention. Can you tell me a little bit more about that? And just let them tell you, or, you know, it seems like this scenario might be going on. And then you just pause and let them then download a ton of information that they might not have otherwise given you.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. And I think that the way you approach it in a particular situation can be different. You sort of have to feel the room, if you will, in terms of like, am I just going to blatantly go out and say, hey, here's what I'm seeing, versus asking a question or whatever. But I think overall, that's the idea. And again, it's the purpose is you want to be able to have a business conversation, not a sales conversation.
Yeah, I like that. I like that distinction, because we've talked about this some on this show, but definitely the more you get into the service side of things and you're not just selling an individual product, it really is based on trust and, you know, their belief that you and your team are going to be able to bring the change that they need in their organization. And so, you know, the more that you're pushing for the sale, the more that it kind of breaks down that wall of trust. But if you're having a business conversation, you're showing them and you're proving to them through that conversation that you are the right team to be able to help them solve those business problems. So Mike, what's the wildest thing that's ever happened to you in your sales career?
It's been nothing terribly wild per se. So very early on, this was years ago. So Gabby and I, for those who don't know, my wife and co-founder and business partner, we were both doing business development at the time, and we were also working with a sales coach, and he was helping us actually work through live deals in pipeline. And we were working on one that, realistically we knew wasn't really a good fit, but we were just at that point at least, but we were going to go through the motions for practice at that point. That was the recommendation from our sales coach. And I don't remember exactly how, like the why behind it at this point, but the deal had stalled and it seemed like they weren't going to buy, which was fine. We didn't care at that point, but we wanted to work our, you know, practice our objection handling and stuff like that. So our sales coach advised, like, so then these guys were, they were also a husband and wife team, small business. At that point, we were working with smaller businesses at that point. And our sales coach advised us to kind of jokingly, like, throw, I don't remember why, again, this is the context probably be, make this more interesting, but advised us to throw the other person under the bus a little bit, like in a joking manner. And that straw felt the short straw felt the Gabby. So she sent an email kind of, you know, jokingly throwing me under the bus. And it was very clear in the email that it was a joke. And it just completely fell flat. And this woman responded in like a very, like almost like angry and like appalled manner. Like, I can't believe you throw your, you know, husband and business partner to the bus. Like, this is, why would you do that? You know, we're also husband and wife team. I would never do that. It just was bad. We're like, okay, well, we tried, moving on.
Good thing we weren't really trying to close the deal anyway, because it's closed. Awesome. Yeah, well, Mike, thanks so much for sharing your insight and wisdom on being curious and you know, doing that upfront research to help have better business conversations with your prospects. Yeah, really appreciate your time.
Awesome. This is fun.